A walk down memory lane with our very own Jewish encyclopedia. It's Talk of the Town with Isaac Resnick, only on your station, 101.9 Chai FM.
Welcome, good morning. It seems to be warming up now. We've had some cold weather. But sit back, relax, and enjoy. Now, today's show I'm going to devote to what we called, well, you just heard a few moments ago, Women's Month. But before we talk about all the women who've contributed, and I'm going to particularly talk about women in South Africa, one or two or three overseas, and particularly Jewish women who've contributed to South Africa. And usual, we start off with those, unfortunately, who passed away during the week. And there was Leah Chatzkalovitz, Benjamin Ben-Ami, Walter Rosenthal, Akadi Wasserman, Ronald Cohen, Cyril Siki Ezeko, Martin Schonfrucht, John Landau, Rebecca Bloch, Naomi Kirschen, Myra Shapiro, Raymond Rake, Carol Ann Marum, and Arlene Lipman. So we want to wish the respected families Chaim Toivim Marukim a long and a good life, and may they have no further sorrow. Now, as I mentioned, we're going to talk about a woman who contributed to South Africa, the community, Jewish, non-Jewish community, and particularly Jewish woman. Now, I'm starting off today with a lady who I'm sure many of you knew in the years gone by, right at the beginning, in the, say, the 40s, 50s, that is the late Bertha Solomon. You know, she was an unbelievable person. She was born in Minsk in Russia. She came to South Africa with her parents at the age of four. She went to the Good Hope Seminary School for Girls in Cape Town. Her school results were so impressive that the Diocesan College, the Bishop College at Rondebosch, broke its tradition of not admitting Jewish students to offer her a four-year scholarship. She graduated one of two pioneer women at Bishop's with a BA degree and with distinctions in classics. She did a teaching course in 1911 at the South African College. That was the forerunner of the Cape Town University. She was reading for her MA degree in classics. There were only five students in this class, of one of whom was the brilliant 17-year-old prodigy, Jan Hofmeyr. I'm sure many of you heard of him, remember him, as also a member of parliament many years ago. I'm not going to go into all the history of Bertha Solomon, but you know Bertha Solomon entered politics. She was the second woman to become a member of parliament. The first lady, I'm sure many of you may have remembered her, and she was the wife of the famous Denise Rates. I'm sure you remember Denise Rates was a very famous attorney, very involved in the Orange Free State, that was known then. Her name is Lila Rates. And when Bertha Solomon became a member of MP for JEPI, she introduced a bill for women. You know, women who were married in community of property, had no say, had lost everything if there was a divorce. Well, I'm not going into all the technical details. And Bertha Solomon also introduced the third party insurance fund, when, God forbid, you were driving a motor car and you didn't have third party, you didn't have insurance, you'd be covered what they called by the third party insurance fund. Now, why I'm talking a lot about Bertha Solomon is, she married a gentleman called, she was, as I said, her maiden name was Schwartz, and she married, a Solomon, who's, brother, that's her brother-in-law, was the father of the famous South African who became the United States ambassador from Israel, and his name was Aubrey Solomon, and later changed his name to Abba Eban. I'm sure many of you remember that. And Bertha Solomon also had a daughter, Joan, who also married a gentleman who was a diplomat, and he was also an ambassador for Israel. His name was Comey, Michael Comey. I'm sure that rings a bell. Now, why I'm talking about Bertha particularly is my first encounter with Bertha Solomon was when I was a young little boy of about 11, 12 years old. I was, we lived in Jeppe, in Fox Street, two blocks away from the Jeppe Shul. And I used to go to Jeppe Shul regularly, and I went to Jeppe Cheder. And a block away where Jeppe Shul was, in the street called Morden Street and Browning. But in Morden Street, it was in the oval curve, known where the Julius Jeppe Park was. And right across the road from there was a center built by the city council, and it was called the Bertha Solomon Center. Because Bertha Solomon, when she was a member of parliament and used to canvass in Jeppe, don't forget Jeppe was a blue-collar area, a suburb, and 99% of the inhabitants, there were a lot of Jews living there, but were all government employed. In other words, they worked on the railways, in the post office, in the magistrate's court, etc. So, and they're very, very, very poor. And Bertha Solomon started a soup kitchen there, which was very, very, very popular. And they were having an election in 1948, and Bertha Solomon arranged for the election to be held. The voting booth would be in the Jeppestown Shul Hall. Now, the hall was next to the shul, I'm sure many of you remember, but it was separated by a wall. And I happened to be at Cheder one afternoon, and I saw them setting up tables and everything, and I went up and I spoke to one of the people, and then Bertha Solomon arrived, and I introduced myself to her, and she said to me, "Wouldn't you like to help us on election day?" In those days we had them on a Wednesday, you can assist us by being what we called a messenger. Now, don't forget, we didn't have computers in those days. All the voters' rolls were prepared manually. So what would happen is, outside the booth, the voting booth, tents would be setting up where you'd have, say, your United Party. Bertha Solomon, by the way, represented the United Party. And on the opposite side, you have your the other side was the Nationalist Party. You would go up to the table, and you'd give your name, and they would give you your voting number. You would then go into the hall, the booth, and you'd go up to the presiding officer. They had tables there with all different officials, and you'd give your name in and with your number. They'd give you a ballot paper. They'd stamp the ballot paper at the back with the official mark, and you'd go to a little cubicle and cast your vote. And when they did that, they marked the list off that you had voted. So, and after about, say, half an hour, then all those numbers were put on a list, and then they were given to what they called myself, the messenger, and I would take that list outside to the United Party tent, and they would mark off those people who had voted. Of course, you wouldn't know who they'd voted for. A lot of people may have come to the United Party table and voted for Nationalists or vice versa. But we did know one thing, that in Jeppe, that when you voted, the women all voted for Bertha Solomon. They used to call her Ons Bertha, and the men all voted for the Nationalists. So we're taking an ad break, and I'll be back in a few moments.
What's going on in the community? Let's find out with Isaac Resnick.
Welcome back. So as I mentioned, we're talking about Women's Month. And I started off with Birth of Solomon for a very, very special reason. Because Birth of Solomon was the one who influenced my whole career, where I started off as a young boy of 11 years old or 12, I remember it, 1948. As I was a messenger when they had that election for Birth of Solomon, and we used to get all the numbers of the people who voted, take it into the United Party tent. Bertha was for the United Party, and then we'd know who'd voted. And as I mentioned just before we took a break, the woman, all the women voted for Bertha. They loved her. Ons Bertha, they used to call her, because she ran this magnificent soup kitchen. But the men all voted for the Nationalist Party. And what they liked about it is, you know, in those days you didn't have cell phones and all the modern equipment, emails, etc. So if we knew that someone hadn't voted, we would send a motor car down the street, say, for example, where I live, the whole of Fox Street, and there would be their driver with an assistant. He would knock on every door, slowly driving down, and say, have you voted yet? If you haven't, come, we'll take you to the polls. And for them, for these women who had never, don't even own a car, very few of them had ever ridden in a motor car, it was an absolute treat. And they would be brought to the polls, and they would cast their ballot. And as I said, the woman voting for Bertha and the men voting for the National Party. And I remember, by the way, who the first candidate was for against Bertha. His name was Eben Kayla. I remember exactly. I can just picture him in my mind. And then I was very involved, and then when Bertha retired, the following year she stood again, the following few years later, 1953, she stood for the United Party, but she came in unopposed. So popular was Bertha Solomon. And then she retired, and then they brought in for the next candidate, but I'm not going to go into those details. His name was Dr. Franz Cronier. He was the chairman of what in those days it used to be called the Netherlands Bank of South Africa. And that is for another time. So I just want to mention now that some of the ladies who I think were very, very, very involved in politics, were, of course, and I'll go back to them, was, remember there was Helen Suzman, Ellen Kelman, I'm sure you remember her. She was a sociologist. There was Selma Brody. There were so many Jewish women involved in politics, and of course, the men as well. But I'm only talking about women now. Now, I'm just going to also mention some of the other women, and this is from international point of view, who made an influence, because this is the Influence Women's Month. And I must refer to the very first Prime Minister, woman Prime Minister of Israel, and that was Golda Meir. Now, you know, Golda Meir was born in Russia. She immigrated as a young girl with her parents. They went to live in Milwaukee in the United States. She was a very, very passionate Zionist. She then left. She got married in America. She came to Israel. She was a chalutznik, and got involved with the Zionist movement there. She served when Ben Gurion became Prime Minister of the state in 1948. She was appointed as the Israeli ambassador to the Soviet Union, and of course stationed in Moscow. Whenever she would come out in her motor car, wherever it is, she would be surrounded by hundreds of Jews. And don't forget, there was very, very strict restrictions on Jews in those times. Later on, even Golda Meir met the King Abdullah of Jordan just after the war, so they could arrange some peace agreement. Very involved, and then she was appointed to the cabinet. And I remember the one saying of Ben Gurion: "Golda Meir is the only man in my cabinet." And then there's another very famous woman, also in the United States. I'm sure many of you remember. but I'm going to put out the question. She found it that famous Zionist organization for women called Hadassah, which is the largest Jewish women's organization in the world. Today, by the way, in those days it grew. Today it is over 1 million members, paying members, Hadassah. Now, if you do know the name of the lady who founded the Hadassah movement, you can text us on 34519. And of course, you've also had the World Zionist Organization, where you had the women's section called WITSO, Women's International Zionist Organization, very well known in South Africa as well, where we had unbelievable leaders, like, for example, there was Deborah Sagorsky. I'm sure many of you remember her. In the early days, you had presidents like Muriel Maisels, Anna Franks, Ethel Balkin, Marcia Parnes. The list is endless. Rachel Rappaport, all composers. And there's one lady that stands out, and to my mind, that was Nettie Davidoff. I'm sure you remember her. She was a really forceful person. She was also involved in politics in South Africa. She was a member of the Black Sash. You remember what the Black Sash was? Those are the women who used to object to the apartheid government, when they used to subjugate women, where they had that pass laws they wanted to introduce, and they would wear a black sash. They all stood outside. I remember Wits University. But Nettie Davidoff was very, very involved there as well. So I did put out the question, who was the founder of the Hadassah? Now, I remember two chairpersons of the Hadassah coming out to South Africa. The one was Charlotte Jacobson. I don't know if you ever heard or met of her. Also a wonderful speaker. And the other one was Rose Halperin. Also came to South Africa in the 80s. And I remember the night she spoke, it was at the old Connoisseur Hotel. And that very night, the then Prime Minister, P.W. Botha, announced a state of emergency. I remember clearly, unbelievable. Now, just to change, we'll get back now to some of the ladies who I mentioned who were very involved. Now, how many of you remember Sally Cassell? Remember, Sally Cassell was the secretary of the Union of Jewish Women for many years. Sally was born in Oudtshoorn and then very, very highly educated, came to Johannesburg, took up the position. And she was the only lady ever from South Africa to talk at the United Nations. Now, she lived in a building in Hillbrow, which is named after the building in New York where the United Nations are housed. Now, if you do know, that's another question, please. Please SMS or text 34519. What is the name of the building where the United Nations are housed? And they built a building here in Hillbrow, and they named that building after that one in the America. That was Sally Cassell. She lived in that building. As I said, she spoke at the United Nations. She was the secretary, the general secretary of the Union of Jewish Women. So please, and now, by the way, if you want to add anyone or to mention me or want me to talk about any particular lady, please feel free to do so. So I've mentioned Bertha Solomon, I've mentioned Helen Suzman, I've mentioned, this is political, Ellen Kelman, and of course internationally, Golda Meir, and then there was this one lady, who I'm waiting for the answer, who founded the Hadassah movement, although not really a political one, but they were affiliated to what we call the ZOA, the Zionist Organization of America. So I'd like to know if you know her name. And the other question, if you just tuned in, what is the name of the building where the United Nations are housed? And they built a building in Hillbrow, high-rise building. It was also named after that building in United States, where the UN is housed. Now, to get back completely to the other woman, and I'm now going to go into, just say, for example, the arts or the literary, etc. Remember, we had some wonderful writers here, authors. The very first one I can think of was Olive Schreiner. Remember, she wrote that famous book called The Story of an African Farm. We also had Sarah Gertrude Milne, very, very well known. Her husband was Judge Milne. She wrote many, many books, very, very well known in the community. She got honorary doctorates from Wits University. She wrote extensively. And then there was another one. Do you remember Olga Kirsch? Well, she wrote poems in Afrikaans, and she eventually made Aliyah, settled in Israel for many years. And then there was another lady called Sarah Goldblatt. Now, Sarah Goldblatt was the secretary to a very famous Afrikaans author-poet. Let's see if anybody can remember who. And he wrote, and I'll give you the clue, he wrote the famous Die Stem. So, Sarah Goldblatt. Yes, I've got a text now. Hadassah founder is Henriette Zolt. 101% correct. Henriette Zolt, the founder of Hadassah. And as I said today, it may be even more, over 1 million paying members. The largest women's organization in the world. Unbelievable. And of course we got in South Africa, as I said, you had Witso. We had all those famous ladies like, well, I must mention Anna Franks. I'm sure many of you remember Anna Franks. Her late husband was Morris. Unfortunately, they had a tragedy in their life when their young son was killed in a motor car smash, driving down Corlett Drive. Unbelievable. So then there was, as I said, there was Muriel Maisels, the wife of the late Izzy Maisel, the most famous advocate attorney who managed to get Mandela and all of them off at the treason trial, not Rivonia trial, treason trial. And then subsequently became a judge in Southern Rhodesia. And then we had, as I said, Rachel Rappaport, also very, very involved, a wonderful, spoke beautiful Hebrew, a linguist, married to Solomon, a Rappaport. He's buried here, but she died in Israel, and she's buried in Israel. And the other ladies, for example, I mentioned were like Marcia Parnes and Ethel Balkin. The list is endless. I could go on of all the famous women who were involved in the Women's Zionist Organization. Then I want to change slightly to the medical field. And I'm just going to mention the names quickly because we're then going to take a commercial break. There was a Dr. Mary Ann Gordon. I'll come back to her. Mary Ann Scher, Rachel Goetz, and Professor Margareta Isaacson. So we're taking an ad break. We're back in a few moments.
You're listening to Talk of the Town with Isaac Resnick on 101.9 High FM.
So we're talking about Women's Month, and I mentioned quite a few important women, and we're now talking about some medical women in the medical field. And one of them I must mention was Dr. Esther Franks. She was the first woman, a qualified ophthalmologist in South Africa. Then I mentioned Dr. Mary Ann Gordon. Now, Mary Ann Gordon was the superintendent of the Johannesburg General Hospital. Remember that one there, Hospital Hill. And her family has a wonderful yichus. Her uncle was Reb Lazer Gordon, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Tells Yeshiva in Lithuania. And then we had Dr. Mary Ann Scher. I'm sure you remember her. She was a dermatologist. And her late father, unfortunately, he was killed tragically. He was walking home from shul one day on a Shabbos and was knocked over by a bus. And he was the rabbi of the Pornovisa Shul in Domfontein. And then there was Dr. Rachel Getz. I'm sure many of you remember her as well. Her late father, Oscar Getz, was the president and chairman of what was then known as the Waterstrand Hebrew Congregation, old age home, and today is Sandringham Gardens. And then to get back now to the two questions that I've asked, I mentioned Sally Castle. As she spoke at the United Nations, she was the secretary of the Union of Jewish Women, as she lived in a building which is named after the same building where the United Nations are housed in New York. And so if you do know, please text 34519. And the other one I asked was, there was Sarah Goldblatt. She was secretary to, well, I've given you the name now. She was secretary to Langenhoven, the famous Afrikaans poet, author, who wrote Die Stem. Right, now let's get back to some of the ladies who were involved in theatre. And there was, and in arts, there was Irma Stern, remember the famous sculptress. There was Toby Kushlik, very involved in live theatre. She produced that wonderful show used to call Jacques Brel is Alive and Well. And remember where, let's see if you remember where it was performed. At what famous theatre was it performed? It was in Hillbrow. If you drove up Nugget Hill, you went straight up to it. And let's see if you know what the name of that theatre was. And then there were two famous Yiddish actresses in Johannesburg, Nusia Gold and Sarah Sylvia. And remember when Max Perlman, he came from South America with his Yiddish theater tour, and Molly Pekin came out as well. She was an American Yiddish theater actress. Sarah Sylvia and Nusia Gold were very involved in those productions. First took place at the old Standard Theater, and then when that was demolished, they moved to the Zionist Center that was in De Villiers Street, corner Bankert Street, and they had all their performances there. Now, I mentioned the other writers like Olga Kirsch. There's also who wrote in Afrikaans. Then there was a very famous film, or no, more of a ballet critic, an arts critic, live theatre. Do you remember Dora Sowden? And what was she famous for? How would you know it was Dora Sowden? She always, let's see if any of our listeners know how you could recognize Dora Sowden. Text 34519 now. Now please be free to send me any names that you want me to talk about or to mention, because I'm still going to talk about the ladies in the Federation of Synagogues Guild, all those ladies in all the different shuls. So we're taking a break. We're back in a few moments.
A walk down memory lane with our very own Jewish encyclopedia. It's Talk of the Town with Isaac Resnick, only on your station, 101.9 Chai FM.
Welcome back. As I mentioned, we're talking about Women's Month, and I've spoken about quite a few of the political, the medical, the arts, culture women. And now I'm going to talk about women in religion, and that is the woman of the Federation of Synagogues. But before I do that, I'm going to put out another question. What is the name of that famous lady, woman, who founded the Beis Yaakov Schools for girls? Remember, girls never went to a yeshiva in Europe. They didn't have a formal education. And this lady took it upon herself and founded the famous Beis Yaakov institution, which is throughout the whole Jewish world to go today. You can go to any country in the world, any city, and you'll always find a Beis Yaakov. It's a seminary, a school for young girls. So text 34519. Now, the Federation of Synagogues, ladies' guild, we had so many dynamic women there. I'm going to start off with, for example, the late Doreen Bender. I'm sure many of you remember Doreen, and her late husband Barney Bender. Doreen originally came from Boksburg, and Barney Bender as well. They came to Johannesburg, and then Rabbi Bender was the rabbi of the Germiston Shul, and thereafter later went on to Port Elizabeth, and when they retired, rabbi of the Yeovil Synagogue. Rabbi Barney Bender was also very involved as the charge of the conversions committee of the Johannesburg Beth Din. Doreen, as I said, was the president of the Federation of Synagogues and very, very involved with the Kosher Consumers Organization. And Doreen was a force to be reckoned with. I mean, if she went to, and I'll mention the name, to Raymond Ackerman, and she didn't agree with this price or that price, or she wanted something done, they took notice of Doreen. They stood up and did exactly what she asked them to do. And then, of course, you had others, like, for example, we had Doris Brooks. We had Ray Fine. As a matter of fact, I saw her daughter yesterday, Doris Ossip, and we were speaking about her late mother. And, of course, the late father, I think it was Gershon Fine, he came from the same shtetl as my father, and that was Krok or Krakus in Lithuania. And they were very involved in the Yeovil Shul for many, many years. Ray Fine was also involved, Federation of Synagogues, also president, involved with Federation of Synagogues, a Women's Guild, and of course, their son, there was the late, Cyril Fine. Remember, he was a Mohel, a doctor. I remember he used to, on a Shabbos, he would walk all the way to Barry Gwynedd Hospital, because that's where he was doing his internship, or when he was finished practicing, as he qualified as a doctor. And then, of course, we had, as I said, Doris Brooks, and then Bloomy Lewis. I'm sure many of you remember Bloomy Lewis. Her maiden name was Shostakovich. Her father was a reverend in the Fordsburg Shul for many years. He used to give a blood gemara there. And Bloomy was very involved with the Yeovil Shul with her late husband. He was the chairman of the Yeovil Shul, served on the committee of the United Hebrew Congregation. And unfortunately, they had a tragedy when their son, Kenny, who was a brilliant, brilliant man, would have been a top attorney, an advocate, even a judge, unfortunately had a blood or something happened, a brain hemorrhage, one day sitting in his office, and never recovered. And Bloomy had a brother who was a brain surgeon, Dr. Sasso, and he said, look, to operate is 50-50. Either he'll survive or he won't survive. And they decided not to operate, but Bloomy looked after Kenny for years and years and years. And whenever a rabbi would arrive in South Africa, I was involved with the Federation of Synagogues, as that rabbi, famous rabbi, of course, would get off the plane, I would take them straight to Bloomy Lewis, and he would give Kenny a brocha. And I remember Bloomy used to say to me, look, Kenny's smiling. But what a tragedy it was to see this man, this brilliant person, sitting in a chair and with nothing for him, just gazing into space all the time. Unfortunately, he passed away, and Bloomy passed away a few years later, and he's buried next to Bloomy. And of course, Bloomy's daughter, everybody knows, is Merle Friedman, the famous, I think a psychiatrist. Now, also to mention the Women's Guild, we used to have what they call the Federation of Synagogues Ladies Guild, who at every shul there was a committee member, and they were in charge of what, I'm sorry to use this term, what they call the Kichel and Herring Brigade. Remember, because today all the shuls have outside caterers, or they have a catering firm who does what we call the brocha or the kiddush for them. That's automatically today. But in those days, all the women used to stand around and do all the catering. For example, in Sydenham, there was Lorraine Ware for many, many, many years. And in Cyril Dean, I remember there was all the ladies like Sonia Abrams and Celia Ganendi and even the Rebbetzin Moshe Isaacs and the other shuls, the rabbis' wives also were involved. But I can't give you all the details of all the women in every shul, but I do remember 90% of them. Now, we're taking a break. We'll be back in a few moments.
What's going on in the community? Let's find out with Isaac Resnick.
So I'm talking about the Ladies Guild, and I must mention the late Kitty Casper, the wife of Chief Rabbi Bernard Casper Zatzal, who was instrumental in having the new mikveh built at the Federation of Synagogues building in Yeovil, and of course in Raleigh Street, and of course the kosher kitchens, which used to supply meals to all those patients in the hospitals or private hospitals. They had a depot set up in Pretoria there, who made these meals, and they were distributed. And of course, the ladies' guilds were all involved as well. And I must mention, I mentioned some of the shuls of the ladies' guild. There's the West Street Shul, there was Frieda Cohen, and today you have Cindy Herring, the daughter of Ronnie and Yvonne Kaplan, who does the catering, arranges it for the Shul Brocha, which is one of the top brochas in Johannesburg. And of course, there was Bella Copens in Waverley Shul. There was Annie Friedman in Greenside. If there's anybody I've left out, please forgive me. It's not deliberate, because there's so many to mention. But now I just want to mention one other thing. And this is not a Jewish woman, and I'm putting out this question. Let's see if any of you remember. Just come to my mind now what I'm thinking and talking to you. In the whole of the history of Johannesburg over this past 125 years, we've only had one lady mayor. She wasn't Jewish, but it was in the 1940s. And the reason being, because everybody was overseas up north, as they say, doing military service, the Second World War. Now, let's see if any of our listeners know the name of that lady, the first and only mayor. Well, you know, a woman is a mayoress, but she was actually the mayor of Johannesburg. If you do know, text 34519. So we've got three outstanding. What is the name of the building where Sally Kussel, who addressed the United Nations, lived in Hillbright, named after the United Nations building? I mentioned Doris Sowden, the famous art critic for ballet, the live theater, and you could recognize her by something very, very special. And the third one now, I've just asked, the first and only woman mayor, although they used to call them mayoress, of Johannesburg, because in the 1940s, during the Second World War, all the men were doing military service. So if you do know, please text 34519. And then one very, very last question. I asked, who was the founder of the famous Beis Yaakov school for young Jewish girls? So we've got a few minutes left. Please text me, or you can call me on 074-654-7335. So just to remind you, that today, by the way, I should wish everybody a Chodesh Tov. It's Rosh Chodesh Elul. So exactly in 4 weeks' time, we've got the Rosh Hashanah. And tomorrow is also Rosh Chodesh. Friday is going to be the reflections of the past between 9 and 10. And on Sunday, we've got the Art of the Cantor between 4 and 5. I have a very special program. This last week, by the way, I also had a very, very special program, which was well received. And that's between 4 and 5. Right. I've got one text here. Yes, the name of the lady who founded the famous Beis Yaakov was Sarah Schneier. And this comes from Bev. Thank you, Bev, for that. Now, Pick and Pay Norwood has the following special valid from the 22nd, that's today, until the 27th of August. Pea and pay tomatoes 2 kilos, onions 3 kilos, potatoes 4 kilos, and 3 kilo carrots. Buy all 4 for 100 rand and save 20 rand. Kellogg's cornflakes now 39 rand each, you save 16 rands. That's a kilo. Nestle Ricoffee 750 gram tin each, 69 rand, save 10 rand. Everfresh Long Life Milk, assorted, 6 by 1 litre pack, now 69 rand, you save 10 rand. Visit Pick and Pay Howard Nord for more store specials. So, yes, we got another text. Jesse McPherson, Johannesburg Mayor, 1945. As I said, everyone was overseas, up north during the Second World War, and Jesse McPherson. So we've got the answer for the founder, Bais Yaakov. We've got the answer for Jesse McPherson. So I'll give you the other two answers. Dora Sowden, you could always recognize because she wore a turban. I'm sure many of you remember her. By the way, her husband was the famous Lewis Sowden, and he was also the critic of the newspaper, called the Express. Now, the Sally Castle lived in a building named Lake Success. So, I'm sure many of you remember that name. So, just to thank you for listening, thank you, Craig, for controlling. If you have anything still you want to add on, you can text me or you can call, and then I'll speak about it on Friday. Have a wonderful Rosh Chodesh today, a wonderful evening. Enjoy the rest of the week.